Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini, and we are podcasting on-site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive. Get with John Hernandez. Check him out at ibisimages.com. On the menu today, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, we have beef tenderloin, and we're talking bacon-wrapped meatloaf and a sexy beef tartare. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to hear sexy talk with Chef Jeff over here. Our guest for this episode cooks for IndyCar Racing's Team McLaren. Yeah, we're talking some fast food, some fast cars over here, okay, baby? And that is with the chef, Manny Heider. Jeffrey Schlissel, my man. Let's jump into pre-shift and explain today's dishes to the audience. What's up, baby boy? What's up?
It's great, man. It's always good to have Manny in the house, so.
Sure enough.
Yeah. Feels like old times for me. Sexy top for pre-shift. Got to talk about that ground chuck that we did too. That burger that you put on the fly for me to do.
Yeah.
John had some leftover Cuban bread, so we went a Cuban hamburger.
Dude, that was so awesome.
Smoked ham, a little Gruyere cheese melted on top, some pickles, Cuban bread. Mm. Can't go wrong with that. Yellow mustard.
I am so fat.
It's my fault.
It is.
Yeah, sorry. And then we did the meatloaf, but we wanted to amp it up a little bit. So we did the bourbon bacon. Ready for this?
Yeah.
A little bit of cinnamon and maple sugar. And then topped that with a little chipotle. Put the ground chuck in there with some caramelized onions, some black garlic, some garlic, some yellow, for lemon for zest to bring it and brighten it up. And then Red Gold gave me their Sacramento Bloody Mary mix, and I wanted to do something a little bit different. So we glazed the top of that as it was cooking to do that beautiful Bloody Mary char on the top. That was actually fantastic. We did that as a sandwich, and then we went over to the beef filet because August 13th is National Filet Day, Filet Mignon. So that was beef tenders. We wanted to showcase that. We did that one with, believe it or not, blackberry sage tea. and some steak seasoning. So I wanted to do a little bit more complexity to it. Then we did a pomus maximus, which is this thin layer. We call it window pane.
You got to say it differently. You have to say it like pomus maximus.
Well, it's pomus max is what they're called. But pomus maximus, or if you want to do it Italian, maximus.
No, like remember, what's the gladiator?
Right. Pomus maximus. Yeah. Maximus. Right.
Right.
So
stay with me, man.
Those were like window pane, little slice, circular potatoes that were infused with herbs. And then we topped it off with sautéed spinach, and then John captured the most god-awful, beautiful bacon with, like you said, the tribal tattoo rolling around it. It was so sexy.
That was really, I think that's one of the best images we've gotten.
That's
top three for sure.
Definitely. He really captured that, the essence of it was. And then I wanted to do a twist with beef tartare, as most people will do.
Right, but hold on. Listen, you're just shotgunning all of this against the
spewing it
against the wall. Pick the tartare. Let's start with the tartare because man, it was really good. And you made your own, you know, quote unquote caviar. Why don't you kind of get into the detail of that a little bit?
Sure.
Right. A little bit of the ingredient, you know, how did you do it?
So modern cuisine, which is what Fernand Adrian, his brother, and Il Bulli did, is they looked at ways that we can do things differently with chemicals like sodium malate, calcium chloride, and that. This one was none of that because it's a little more difficult. You have to have filtered water. We've expanded what we can do with agar-agar. And if you boil that and then let it cool and then put it in olive oil that's chilled, you instantly, as it drops and falls, you get this beautiful caviar, quote unquote. And then I actually put in thyme as it was cooking, not as in thyme, T-I-M-E, but T-H-M-Y-M-E. That gave another layer of, to when you're eating the actual tartare, you have that pop of that citrus comes through. And then we topped it off with parsley oil that was so rich and deep and green.
Very pretty.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't believe how green it got.
It reminded me of the Jewel of the Nile.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. And if people don't know what that means, like Google that. Jewel of the Nile, great flick, first of all, but it was just like that.
Emerald green.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we put that on top of a nice baguette that we did.
I'm going to start calling you El Guapo just for that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can listen. You brought something back from my memory that I forgot about.
Dude, I'm still living in the 80s, bro.
Well, yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah, no. They're not. My knees tell me it's the...
Well, yeah, that's the stretch zone. You need to go there.
Yeah, we got to work that out with him.
And then we got Jonathan is actually finishing up over there, the BLT, the jerked BLT.
Oh, yeah, John. Ibis Images. Totally going to rock that. That's going to be dope. He probably is.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to think about it. When you have jerk and then the savoriness and the saltiness of the bacon and then you have the bourbon.
If he's eating it, he's the jerk. Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Because I have been saving some space for that piece of that.
Well, you know why we're doing bacon today? The 20th.
Is there a wrong reason?
The 20th is National Bacon Day of this month.
Some hashtag there?
Yeah. So we wanted to make sure that we kind of bring that to light so that people understand bacon's great every day, but it actually has its own national day.
Yeah, I can get behind it.
100%.
In front of it, over it, in it, whatever, you know?
Exactly.
It's good. All right, so tartare was amazing.
Thank you.
I'm a big tartare guy, all right? And I'm going to give you good... I can never just give you a 10.
Because
you're kind of a D-bag. No, I'm kidding. You're not that at all. No, it was. It was freaking phenomenal, man.
Thank you.
Good job. You did great today. In fact...
Meatballs.
Yeah, meatballs are good. Listen, the bar for that is...
Oh, I know. It's high.
For me.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I was having... Like, my I am a second generation
right, Italian. So you have your Nonna, your Bella.
Right. All these people... And I grew up eating like some freaking high-powered, really amazing, you know... amazing, but what's the word I'm looking for? It was so real. Authentic is the word I couldn't pull up. So freaking wonderful. You did a terrific job on the meatball.
Thank you.
Yes.
Got my own little twist in it, but you know.
Yeah, everything you do has your...
Yes.
Yeah, the Schlissel
flair.
Twist.
Yeah.
You know, so... what was the next dish?
So we did the meatballs. We did the meatball or meatloaf entree with the carrots.
Mm-hmm.
The carrot puree with the lemon in it with chipotle.
We're going to bring Manny on shortly, but he said something interesting I want to get into with the yin and the yang of aspect that. Of that particular dish, which I thought was, you know, pretty witty.
And then the one we did with the meatloaf sandwich, most of the time people just do ketchup, meatloaf, and a sandwich, and that's kind of it. We toast the baguette or the bread. We did, instead of just ketchup, I did smoked tomato aioli.
Yes.
From a couple little layers. And then the jalapenos.
This is elevated meatloaf. This is an elevated meatloaf.
Yeah, this was definitely one of the make it more craveable.
This is not grandma's meatloaf.
No.
You know, funny story real quick before you bring Manny in. This was down in South Florida, went to a restaurant. My dad was there. It was a whole, it was a family event. There was maybe 20 of us at the table. And he's an older guy. He's looking at the menu and he says, "Hey, Carl, the meatloaf is $15. I can make that at home for like $2.50. And I'm like, "Don't you say something to, do not talk to anyone else about this at all today." Like, don't say a word.
Well, I told you when I worked at the White Tablecloth, we had meatloaf on the menu.
And people might be thinking right now, $15 sounds pretty cheap. This was like 15 years ago or more, 16 years ago. It was a long time ago. So $15 for a meatloaf place back then for a dish was actually pretty pricey. And just for giggles. Okay.
I'm not going to tell you how much it was for us at the restaurant then.
What do you mean? Oh, what?
When I was at the White Tablecloth, it was like $28.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm in the freaking business. But like, you know, poor old fellow was like...
Oh, yeah. People that don't know, that are not in the industry, don't know.
He's like, "Look at this. I can do this at home for like a quarter the price." I'm like, "Dad, but we're coming out to eat." You know, like...
There's labor involved in it? Gas to pay?
Yeah, I think so. So we're going to bring... We're gonna bring Chef on.
I think so. That's a good idea.
Manny, are you you with us, right?
Ooh. Look at that, your own little. It's in his writer. It was part of the contract to get him on.
I had to play this.
That's my walk up music. That's my pull up a chair music. I like it. Where'd you find that one?
This guy told me about it.
Spotify is like has everything. Spotify has everything.
Well, it's got you two on it too, so
yeah, that's
the bars
that's
kind of.
All right, so listen, obviously it's for fun and everything. Where are you from?
California.
Oh, where's your family from?
Like ethnically?
Yeah. Why are you, come on, can you give some perspective on the thing?
We're Pakistani American.
All right. So this is actually a really cool tune. And I'm glad we did this. All right. Let's jump into it, man.
Absolutely.
IndyCar racing, Team McLaren. That's pretty badass.
It's really neat. I mean, I kind of fell into it this past IndyCar season. It's something you don't think about. Jeff and I worked for the same company for a good 7-8 years together. We both have a background in resorts and hotels, restaurants. And feeding in that sense is kind of, you know, as a chef, it comes natural. It's like, oh, people want food. They order from a menu, we feed them. But you don't think about like these teams that need to eat. This whole team of 100 people, of mechanics, engineers, drivers, truck drivers, car drivers, they're on the road for these races. How do you feed 100 people?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
That's the minimum, though. That's the minimum because you get the VIP.
And that's just one team. I mean, this IndyCar circuit this year has like at least five major teams and then smaller teams. But so I kind of fell into this not knowing through another contact, like, oh, we need, our chef fell through. We need someone that can kind of travel and, you know, feed the team and feed some of our guests. I'm like, what do you mean feed the team? And once I saw it, I'm like, oh, wow, we're like showing up in a empty parking lot, building a structure.
Concrete. The parking lot's literally falling, yeah, melting, Detroit. Literally melting as they were putting it up.
Are you feeding 3 squares a day?
2.5. Yeah. So we do.
So 100 people plus 2.5 times a day.
Times 200 people.
200. Oh,
yeah. So 100 for the team and then usually about 100 for the VIP guests.
Yeah. I think
2.5 times a day.
Day one was 469 people.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And the time constraints is just ridiculous. I mean, I'm still in awe.
Well, yeah, you guys just did a gig together a month or so ago.
A couple months ago.
Yeah, you were in Michigan,
Detroit, yeah, mm-hmm. Dearborn, right out. Well, they did the Detroit Grand Prix and
downtown Detroit.
Yeah, right? Literally so downtown, streets, yeah. Right off of Franklin.
It was a street race, so like the
deafening.
Yeah,
it's cool. I love that stuff. I already mentioned once before about you know, doing the Miami Grand Prix like 20 something years ago. One of my chefs was with the Audi team, and man, it was just really, what a great experience when you hear the cars and you can, you know, zah, 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 zah. That's so amazing.
We try to tape it, and I know phone does not do justice at all. It is what, 120 decibels?
My watch kept on saying loud environment. I'm like, okay, I hear you.
Yeah, when we were in Detroit, I was in the trailer, and Manny and Robert, his the other prep cook that was with us, they had to wear earplugs.
Yeah.
It was that loud. It was 110 degrees out there as well.
That's fun. I mean, listen, we're here in Florida. It's 110 degrees at nighttime, you know.
But the day I left was like 41 degrees. I was like, really? This couldn't be this yesterday?
So what I learned today, and I didn't know this, but apparently the drivers are, you know, they're smaller framed individuals, right?
The drivers are on a strict diet that's handled by nutritionists and performance coaches, etc. So their meals come out of, you know, my kitchen as well, but they're totally separate from what everyone else gets. And they're, you know, each driver has specific requirements, and those are given to us ahead of time. We're planned for. And those don't, you know, it's, those are three meals, two, sometimes three times a day.
Yeah, but I think that's the, in my opinion, if I'm listening to this, I'm hearing, well, what do you mean? It's like, they're like jockeys, you know, they're smaller framed individuals, and, you know, they have a strict regimen of food, you know, they have to probably work out just to stay, you know, those cars, it's gotta be taxing physically, right? Yeah. To drive like that.
Very physical.
So they have to be in great shape. They have to not eat the things they want to eat, and you still eat healthy. And I don't know how they would do it.
Yeah, you would think you just get in a car and you drive around in circles, right? It's not. I mean, there's when you look at that car, when they had one of them literally right in a parking lot where we were, I'm like, I couldn't get in there. You know, the guys that do Top Gear and whatever is on HBO, Jeremy Clarkson gets into a car in Russia, like they were doing this trip. It was the latest one. He got into the car. It was a Formula One, like they would drive like the Indy cars. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get out. They literally had to take the car apart.
That would be me.
Out.
That would be me.
But that's what we're talking about. You look at the frame of what Jeremy Clarkson is to what, you know, these drivers are. They've got a certain height. They've got to be a certain build, because there's no way. I mean, Ryan Sheehan, who is on LinkedIn, who follows us, he's trying to get into Formula One right now. He's got his own team. His father and I follows you and I. Okay. On social media.
What's up, Rob?
There we go.
Hey, so you said there was a funny story about garlic. what was that about?
So this was my first race was for the month, what they call the month of May in Indianapolis. This is leading up to the Indianapolis 500. So there's a couple weeks of there's a GP race, a road course race that happens like the week before the Indy 500, and there's practicing and testing. And so, cause all the teams are basically based out of Indianapolis. And, in the week leading up to it, it was one of the first driver meals I was making. And, you know, they give us, okay, we want, you know, double chicken with pasta and some vegetables. Of course, as chefs, we're like, all right, you know,
flavor.
We want to add some flavor. It can't just be totally bland. And so we've, for that day, I think we did like broccolini or something or green beans and made a little too garlicky, a little too fresh garlic. And I heard from the nutritionist later on, it's like, hey, chef, drivers are loving the food. Can we just cut back on the fresh garlic? One of the drivers apparently during one of his practice sessions had a burp and ended up with garlic in his helmet for the rest of his practice session. I'm like, I felt so bad. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like,
listen,
what's wrong with that?
Because I'm a smart ass by nature, right? My immediate response would have been,
Drive faster.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. You know, I want him to win. You know, I want him to get back quick, you know?
But as a chef, you know, so when I sat with that in my hotel room later that night, as a chef, we don't think about those things. And it's something I haven't had to think about. It's like, okay, garlic is flavor. You want it to be flavorful. And I'm sure the driver appreciated the flavor at the time.
And for the rest
not
of
the second time.
For the rest of the round.
But then it's like, okay, what is he there to do? And he's there to focus on his car, get it dialed in for the race. You know, me putting the little chef, quote unquote, twist to it or something kind of could have detracted from that. And so it was kind of an eye-opening moment for me.
The whole time when I was in Detroit, I had to do the driver meals. I kept on saying, extra garlic? But you literally have to think, like, is it okay to use butter? Is it okay to use salt? Is it okay?
Because somebody have to ask the nutritionist for everything?
Yes. Right? Yeah. So the nutritionist works very closely with
the chef. Do you, as the chef, get to interact with the team, with the drivers or anyone? Or
sometimes they're around. They've, I wave to them and they've waved back, but that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah. They're all business.
And that's McLaren. That's cool. I mean, listen, you know, I don't know.
Andretti is one of the bigger ones, right?
Yeah.
Andretti Autosports, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty big on
that. What cars does everybody push him, though?
For IndyCar?
Mm-hmm.
It's, what do you mean?
What cars? No, you're McLaren.
So, yeah, obviously.
Team McLaren.
Yeah, Team McLaren, yeah.
Yeah, no, but with IndyCar, the rules are different. So all the teams, they have to use a Dallara chassis.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's one chassis manufacturer. And each team chooses whether they're going to go for their engine. They're going to go with either Chevy or Honda. Those are the two engine. I think, yeah, they're the only two ones for this season. And then Firestone for tires. So there's all these rules. This is my first foray into motorsports. So I'm actually getting into motorsports, like into the sport of it and understanding it. So I'm very, very novice on that fact. But they have strict, as far as the cars and stuff go, I guess they have strict guidelines and rules that they have to follow on what they can use, how to set up the car, et cetera.
Yeah, I didn't even know this. One of the runs that was going on in Detroit, it was on Saturday. Somebody's family member was racing in the car. It was Trans Am. But it wasn't all Trans Ams.
No, it was the Michelin Pilot Challenge.
It was when the nephew was
racing. Yeah.
I had no idea. Dude, those cars were so... They were louder than the
Trans Ams. Yeah, those were really loud.
Holy... I mean, 150 decibels? You couldn't even... Like, when they were whizzing by, I was like, no, I'm...
It's like, one of my systems from back in the day in the car. You know?
Yeah. With speaker jails.
Yeah.
JL Audios.
JL Audios, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Little shout out to Jim and Luigi over there in Hollywood.
Right.
In this last race I did in Nashville, they had these, I don't know what they call them, but these trucks.
Oh, he showed me the video.
They were jumping
ramps. They had ramps. Little ramps.
And coming around turns on three wheels. It was nuts.
They were getting 15 feet of air.
I'll show you the video later. Yeah,
it was like monster truck meets like motor raceway. Is the best way to describe that.
There's a term for him. I forget what it is.
You're knucking futs.
Don't. So all right. So 200 people a day. The drivers are very particular about what they can eat. Do you get to kind of like pop the clutch, so to speak, with what you're doing, and can you get creative? I mean, what.
Yeah, for the most part. Not for the drivers. So
drivers are like nothing you could do with it.
So the way it's set up, the rest of it is the menu falls on me. It's which is neat. It's a really cool thing. The menu falls on me. Well, of course, approval by the team. So I'll give draft menus and they'll come back. Usually it's two different menus, menu for the team and a menu for the VIP structure, for the VIP guests who are going to come enjoy the race. And they're very similar menus. I try to, you know, make them, I try to cross-utilize as much as I can because, again, we're showing up to a place where I don't really have established relationships as far as like purveyors and vendors and where to get food. I mean, a lot of these, like Detroit was the first time I'd ever been in Detroit. Then Road America, Plymouth, Wisconsin. Never been in Wisconsin in my life before, let alone Plymouth, which is like 2 hours from the nearest airport. So
elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Logistically, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, sourcing all of the stuff, writing the menus, sourcing all the ingredients, coming up into and not going into a brick and mortar. It's, you know, we're building a tent kitchen to cook out of.
Literally
in a tent parking lot.
Kitchen. Tent, yeah. Not temp.
You guys are almost when you're doing this, it's almost as if it's like a yacht chef. You know, a little different, similar, you know, you just, yeah. All your provisions are, you know, you've got to get creative.
Yeah. You know what this taught me? We could probably go on any of those shows like Chopped or Next TV Food Network, whatever. Because the stuff we did, you literally walk in, there's nothing. The team sets up the kitchen and you walk in, you have to pull out all your stuff. You have to get everything cleaned out. And then you get a 200 case order.
Yeah.
Dropped.
You got one chance at it. You get one order. Because it's only a 3-day, 4-day event.
Most I guess you're relying on broadliners for this mostly.
The national broadliners definitely have to. But here's the thing. He's not even touched on it. It's the logistics and timing. Because you got to feed breakfast to both VIP and the team and the drivers. Mm-hmm. So usually what's the breakfast for the team was like 5 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Usually 5, 6 a.m.
Yeah, and then 9 o'clock was the VIP breakfast. And then there's only three of us. So there's one of us that's jumping on to the lunch, which is lunch is served for the team at like 11 o'clock. It has to be gone by 11 o'clock. And then the VIPs are like 12. That was
11:30. Yeah, 12. Yeah. Something like that.
So there's no time. Like I remember the Saturday we worked together. We didn't eat until we went to dinner or the sushi restaurant.
We didn't eat till like
we had a 15-hour day. Well,
that's 9 o'clock at night.
That's normal.
No, we couldn't. There was no time to even pick. Like sometimes you can pick, mm-hmm. get something to go, and there was none.
Well, I mean, I can appreciate that. There was a million years ago when I was down in Miami, and I was selling produce. I had I forgot the name of the yacht, but it was a large yacht, and they'd call, hey, listen, Carl, super important. We're going to be docked for, I don't know, whatever, 35 minutes. It was like some stupid number. You have to be there. The product has to be there. We're picking it up and we're getting the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. It has to be there. No shorts, no mispicks, no nothing. Has to be perfect.
You know how hard it is to get those perfect orders?
Well, yeah, I sure do. I absolutely do. And but it was situations. I remember one time we missed the window at the where they were docked. We had to get creative. It was somewhere in Brickell somewhere. I forget where.
And you had to go meet them somewhere.
Literally, just off the side of I pulled up in a place that I shouldn't have been parking. I popped the trunk and I'm handing them over like 10 or 15 cases, like right over the side of the wall to the ship. Yeah, it was crazy. But this is the life that we've chosen. This crazy life.
So for me, for this, it's been, working in a hotel or resort, you know, it's awesome. But for me, this has been a new challenge. It's another element of the challenge of, okay, I gotta, you know, I gotta get all this stuff there. And then in the back of my mind, before I even get on site, what I gotta play worst case scenarios. What if my stuff doesn't show up? What am I gonna do then? How am I gonna salvage this?
Or the kitchen doesn't get built out in time. What are we gonna do? I actually bought a sous vide machine out to Detroit because we were trying to figure out worst case scenario with the combi oven to make this one wants to do eggs Benedict for 97.
See, that was again a challenge, and I'm pulling it off. Ever since then, we've been pulling it off.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like you look
but,
at things,
but you know what? Good for you, man.
Yeah, let me tell you something. They were
spot. Make the freaking eggs Benedict.
They were spot on.
63 degree Benedict
Celsius. Oh.
Celsius.
Yeah. Just want to clarify those people that there's another form of temperature out there, Fahrenheit and Celsius. Wow.
All right.
So, okay. Yeah, that is the perfect egg, by the way. The yolk is just starting to set.
For these races, I have to say I'm for the 63 degree Benedict that I've been doing at these races, I'm really proud of that. I pat myself on the shoulder
you
on
should.
That because it's
can
like
we
I
get
just,
a shirt. Can we get it? I wish John was here. I want to make a shirt. You know, that has something to do with like
63 degrees.
Yeah.
That could be the name of his segment.
Yeah, you want,
segment.
Yeah, you want sure. your segment? So, all right, look, let me stop for a second. All right, folks,
here listen, comes.
Folks, listening to the audience, the wonderful people who support what we're doing here.
Yeah, we have a couple shout outs we need to do after you get done with this.
You're getting way I know,
go
ahead.
For it. Go for it. Go. God, I'm just making sure.
You know, I tell you what, Schlisselmeister.
Stop it.
Silence. All right, so. First of all, we're trying to up the game here. We're trying to bring more entertainment, more value, more foodalicious, you know, content, right?
Did you just say foodie? Foodie patootie-licious?
See,
that would have been better, foodie patootie.
Meanwhile, I was on the phone with Pooch the other day. He's like, man, you called me out in like three episodes. And I'm like, yeah, brother, this is what we do.
Where are the cheesies?
Oh yeah. The cheese chewies. So I have what I did because my kids like ran through that like a train. I do have some put aside.
All right, well, you told me that you said you were going to bring it today.
I brought you the dog gate instead. I forgot. Anyway, it was
a priorities, right?
Yeah,
priorities.
What do you want from me?
Dog anyway, gate for my car. Anyways, yeah,
I have for you the chewies.
Okay. Sorry, right. Sorry, Pooch. It's going to be a little more time before I start playing with those.
It's all right, Poochie Poo. Look, we're going to make it happen. All right. So what I'm getting at here is we're trying to level up here on what we're doing content wise and, you know, just entertainment value. So what we proposed is having different chefs, you know, around the country in certain particular regions, Northeast, Southwest, whatever, Midwest. And kind of be the chef on the street. Talk about what's trending in the areas, what's going on. You know, if there's some badass new restaurant or hotel or some kind of thing going on, let's talk about it. You know, let's get it out there. So, listen, we're talking Team McLaren. We're talking Indy cars. We're talking like, hey, I'm going all over the damn country anyhow. Chef Manny,
he's the man.
Might be the man. I'm just saying.
So that's going to be his segment.
But if you do that, you have to get the sound of the vehicle at some point.
Oh, that's, yeah. We can make
you got that
happen.
I
we
have
can
that make too. That
happen.
I have that. It on my, but it's not, it, listen, the sound does not.
Maybe that could be part of his like intro music or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Well, it has to go in with that music.
No, we don't have to stop it.
The best sound on the racetrack, honestly, is when after they give the command of driver, start your engines and all 24 cars start up at the same time.
Oh man, I bet that you that is cool.
That is the sound.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
You won me. That's it.
I didn't hear it. We were too far away in Detroit.
Only thing better for me, you know, when you say Detroit, you should just be like mom spaghetti every time. Just mom spaghetti.
We all know it's Detroit. Which side of 8 Mile were we on? I think we were on that side of 8 Mile.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't even matter. Just, you know, anyhow, the only thing to make what he just said better about the, you know, 24 engine starting ones is if I was just chomping on a handful of crispy bacon. I know it's over there.
Well, no, but he's not come out.
He ate it. I'm sure of it. That son of a bitch. He's eaten it.
Yeah. It's eaten.
He had done eaten it. I am so angry right now because I save space for it specifically.
Just like this much?
I mean, I got a lot of space.
Un po.
Yeah. So what are you thinking about that?
I love it. Because again, so it's not, so each of the teams has a similar setup and it's been really cool being part of the paddock of this and meeting the chefs and the folks from the other teams. And, it's, you know,
is there any sort of a rivalry or
no, there's not.
Not with chefs.
Not with the chefs. It's we've all gone.
What do you mean not with the chefs?
No, seriously. It's there's a brotherhood. When you're slaving, like you're doing out there and you're slinging.
Of course
it,
there's camaraderie.
Yeah,
amongst
there's definitely the, no, I we don't care that. About that.
You guys are no fun. Like 0.0%.
No,
like,
the chefs for this.
Talk
the
about
chefs
a bland,
totally,
talk about a bland soup going on right now.
No, we have a lot of love in that. We have cardamom. Cloves, like ground, yeah. Ground up.
Okay. I mean, there's already been borrowing of cups of sugar and flour, and I mean, bartering.
I'm not saying to get in somebody's way and ruin their shift. You know what I mean?
We're not even. I can tell you in Detroit, Mama Spaghetti. We weren't even next to anybody.
In Detroit, we weren't. All the other races I've been fortunate to have. Yeah. So I got to get you to another one so you can see. See what's been built there.
When you go, I'm going to give you the, I'm going to let you use the Zoom recorder.
Oh, that right? I was thinking about that when you said him, that mm-hmm. would be perfect because I think that would actually get the sound quality.
It does, man. It's so amazing. Zoom recorder, badass piece of equipment.
All right.
Yeah. It catches everything.
Yeah.
That'll do it for sure.
For sure.
Probably catches a cricket fart. I had to.
Why?
That it's me.
The show. We were just on the rise.
Do we always have to go through this? You bring it up, I bring it down. It's called the yin and yang.
Speaking of yin and yang.
I wanted my nieces and nephews to hear this.
They can hear that. I said fart. They can. Your nephew would love that.
How old are they?
Gosh. Ish? Don't put me on the spot.
I mean, they probably just read Everybody Poops, so it's fine. You know what I mean?
No, they range from 3 to...
Yeah, this fits into
20s.
So that's Jeff's audience.
Yeah, three.
Definitely.
Yeah,
so that's his demographic right there.
Usually the dinosaur little chicken nuggets, the thingamajiggy.
Yeah. Those. Well, that's about your elevation in terms of chefhood, right? Yeah,
oh, definitely.
I'm kidding. Oh my gosh. Definitely. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, right? No, I don't want to cook for kids, bro. I have my own. Hmm? She doesn't even eat, like, to have to be Kraft macaroni and cheese, which just drives me nuts.
That's so nasty. There's so many bad things in there.
I know. But what am I going to do?
My wife made macaroni and cheese, but some good ones, you know, like, mm-hmm. I forget what she used, but there was like 4 different, like really good cheeses. And my daughter had the audacity. And I say it like that because it's that intense to be like, I want the other one. I want the orange one, you know, because of the,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're not my child. I need a DNA test. I should do that anyway, probably. Right. She doesn't listen to the show, so I can say whatever the hell I want.
There you go.
Yeah.
Neither does my family, so it's okay. Crickets. Except for Chef Paul, Uncle Paulie. Yeah, Uncle Paulie.
Before we get to Paulie,
Yin and Yang.
Yin and Yang. Talk to me.
What was that? Yang, so,
wait. Yeah. Before we get, what was the what were those ingredients?
Yeah. So in the meatloaf itself was a pureed roasted carrot, yellow and orange. And all it was ouzu, salt, pepper, chipotle, and honey.
I wanted to do like a riff on that spicy, what is that, Mom? Mike's honey? Spicy honey?
Hot honey.
Yeah, hot honey. Thank you. And I was like, what can I do? And I just thought, ooh, Chipotle. And I just threw that in there and kind of did that. But he came up with a great idea.
Because you have the yellow and then you have the orange.
Yeah, so he came up to my plate and just like squirted two little
dollops.
I was like, oh, more baby food. I didn't know what period. He just put them on and walked away, right? So I taste them like, wait.
That's his demographic, I'm telling you.
No, but classically, though, you know this, Carl. Classically, just a really good puree that's been passed through a sieve. There's nothing that, you know, the art and the care that goes into making that is just one of the best things in culinary. But so he puts these purees, and I taste it. You know, one's yellow, one's bright orange. And like, first I thought the yellow one was butternut, and he's like, no, it's carrot. And it was bright and lemon. It's like, what all are you putting in? He's like, just the yellow carrot and something else. And it's like, there's citrus in there. He's like, yeah, yuzu. And then I tasted the orange one. It was more roasted. And all of a sudden, I was like, wait, I'd never thought about separating them out like that. And then just making them contrasting. So I was like, wait, the orange one, let's go darker. Let's get some molasses in there, some warm spices, cinnamon, clove, nutmeg, ginger. And then let's take that yellow one, brighten it up even more with more citrus, some green spices, some green heat, you know, some
hatch chilies would have been nice too. Hatch
chilies, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been really nice.
Get those on the plate together. Oh my gosh. Dark, light, contrast, heat, sweet. Yeah.
So what I'm watching here is, I think, what many in the audience look for when they're looking for recipes or they want to follow a chef. You guys were exuding creativity. You were like, I'm watching you and your little gear, the gears in the head were moving. But then you see that's where the passion is. Like you see that's where the passion comes out in that volley of, try this or try that, or maybe this is good or hatch this or whatever. Yeah, no, that's super cool.
Well, and then again, you look at the people that you have the support around you, right? You want to surround yourself with great people and people that are really pushing themselves. Manny has done that since the first time we met, when we worked with the Broadliner, and we were talking about people today, like Peter Felton, Dennis Johnson, Joe Vaughn, and all those guys too. Mm-hmm. We had a great group of people when we worked together where we could bounce ideas off of Arletta, who helped him out in Wisconsin, and Ed Butler in Nashville. These are great people that just were so talented and so overlooked. Jackie Shelby was another one that I can think of right off the QB, Chris QB. All these guys and gals just they exude the passion. And we talk about it on another podcast. That passion translates into craveability. Craveability means people want it. They crave that.
I just want to tie some stuff together real quick. Okay.
Go for it.
All right. We're talking purees a minute ago.
Yeah, baby food, mm-hmm. as you put it.
Yeah. We're talking purees. Wait, actually, yeah, that was Manny. So here's the passion, right? You came up with some celery root puree. A month ago or so. Yeah.
Last week.
Was it? No. This was...
The original time I did it.
Yes.
Okay, yes, back.
So listen, Manny, so Jeff says, look, I got this, the tube of the stuff. I'm not going to bring it home. I said, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, right? I know.
So I ended up, I didn't have anything to use it with, right? And I'm by myself. At the time, my family was out of town. I'm living the bachelor life at the house. And I'm like, shit, that's going to go bad. I was like, that's going to go bad. So I just proceeded to I ate it right from the pastry bag.
Yep.
Gosh. I'm a gluttonous fat, just, but I'm passionate about it, man.
You embrace it.
Well, yeah. What is it? Tell Manny about what you posted recently on social media, and somebody responded.
I pushed
the happiest.
Oh, I gained like 25 pounds. The happiest 20 something pounds I've ever had in my life. You know, I'm miserable every day when I get dressed.
And I hear him cussing at me. He calls me and I was trying to get dressed today and I'm starting to sweat.
Yeah. To pull up my pants. I'm sweating. How did this happen to me? I don't know how this works.
Food coma.
You know, that's
eternal coma. It was a food.
That's what food does. And that's what that's why we stay in it. You know,
I gotta get a doctor on the payroll.
Well, this whole
nutritionist.
Yeah,
this whole gig that I've been doing, this racing circus, I call it, it is, you know, it's tough. It's tough. The heat, the stress of, you know, putting it on, in a very uncontrolled environment, but there's been so many nuggets of joy that have come out of it for me as a chef.
Like the time we went into the sushi bar.
That's a different type of nugget, but no, like just this last.
Well, you can't pass over that. You got to, like, somebody's going to hear that and go, you're not going to skip that.
It was John, Manny, and I walk into a sushi restaurant. It's the background of who we are. So we had a Mexican, a Pakistani, and a Jewish guy walk into a sushi restaurant. Can't make that stuff up.
There's a joke in that.
Yeah. And uni. When we went back the next day, and the guy was like, we'll have uni. We'll have uni the next day. I said, we're going to come back. We literally walked in just to get uni for, like, dessert. The guy's like,
he's like, come back tomorrow.
And we did. And he goes, oh, you caught me.
So John, one of the guys that was with us, so you're young
John,
kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeff and I knew that the sushi chef was, you know, joking with us when he said, come back tomorrow, I'll have uni. But John didn't catch on to it. So we went back anyway.
Yeah, John was all about, I need to get my uni for dessert.
He was joking. He was, yeah, John. He was,
and Jeff's the kind of guy that let it just ride out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was fun. It was
hit the wall.
Oh, yeah. Literally the entire restaurant, we walked in the door. I said, hey, we're back. And the whole restaurant stopped and looked. And he just screams from the, he's all the way in the back.
He's
of
like,
the sushi.
I got you.
He goes, oh, you got me. We don't have any uni. And we turned around and walked out.
That's a letdown. I mean, I feel let down right now. And just hearing the story.
What do we do in the industry?
Yeah, but
what do we provide? A service.
Yeah.
Our service was to have that uni waiting for us because we were told.
Sure.
So we expected it. I expected it because I love uni.
We were in Dearborn, Michigan. There wasn't water to be found in I don't know how far.
But they found sushi, didn't they?
I wasn't expecting uni.
Expectations need to be lowered. All right.
Well,
which kind of reminds me of something here. I was on the Facebook, right?
I have no idea where he's going with this.
Well, you'll find out.
Okay.
Just stick with me here. So I was on Facebook. And I'm on a group, and what's the guy's name? Favreau, John Favreau,
that does the Star Wars.
John Favreau. Yep. All right. So there's a group with his name. Has nothing to do with it, but it's all food service people, and they're all nuts.
Oh, from the chef movie.
Yeah.
God.
Right. Yeah. But all these people on this particular, they're all nuts. It's the true version of the restaurant industry, the people in it. It's like they're lunatics. It's a fun group. Anyway, somebody put something on there about gratuities, right?
We talked about that.
Yeah. It's, you know, in terms of expectations and things like that, like, you know, pushing the narrative of, oh, you know, servers should be get a minimum wage. And I'm like, why do we want our dishes to be, you know, instead of $25, they want it to be $45? Like, why do you want to do that? With them, that's what's going to happen. Or you're going to get we went to the food show. Remember they had the robots there?
Yes.
Yeah. The people don't think about that.
Well, look at McDonald's. And
you know what? You make so much more money with the tips anyway.
Well, look at McDonald's. When the workers went on strike, what'd they do? They pulled all the register out. Now you have to do it yourself.
And you know that's been just waiting. They've been waiting to just roll that.
That was the perfect time to pull that trigger.
Yeah.
And there you go, saving some money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you mean, look at it. Labor is what the shortage is.
Yeah. Expectations, man. People need to get their expectations in line, work hard, and just do what you got to do.
Thank God the people over here listening to this podcast have the lowest expectations to have good entertainment.
But we love you. Thank you. Thank you for following us. Do you know, I'm going to put it out there. 46 weeks we have been in the top 100 on the Apple podcast charts in the food category. So we've been ranking in the food category, top 100 for 46 weeks or 9 months or 285 days. We've been ranking.
Amazing.
Yeah. So cool.
We have a buddy of ours who has a podcast that hit a million downloads.
Patrick Kelly.
Yeah. How long did it take
him? The Produce Industry Podcast. And he does a phenomenal job.
Logistics and produce.
Oh. All produce. It's everything food and veg.
And you would think, and let me tell you something, he's got some following.
Yeah. He's
entertaining too.
He hit a million. Yeah. Well, he's his character is phenomenal. But he hit a million downloads.
How long did it take him?
Maybe 3 years or something.
And how many were you up to now?
Last week we hit 500,000. We hit 500,000 about a week ago.
That's awesome.
It just boggles my mind.
Yeah.
We put out the last podcast. In fact, it's so funny. 2 days ago, Brian Kilman, little shout out for him, sent me a text. He's like, "Hey, what's the next topic on the podcast?" I'm like, "We don't know yet."
Yeah, we found out about an hour ago before we started. No, that's not true. We put a little thought into this. A little bit. You see, there's so many schools of thought. Manny, you actually, I think, asked me something earlier relative to this. But at the end of the day, you know, we do a little bit of prep. Mm-hmm. We have a show flow. There's an ebb and flow to what we're doing here. We have our topics, but we don't script. And there's different schools of thought. And the truth is, most podcasters are going to say, "Well, no, you got to be more, you know,
rigid
and organized, and you got to, you know,
standard operating procedures."
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like, you know, have a framework and keep it loose and enjoy the moments, enjoy the time. And if something funny can come up, and yeah, you hit a side vein and you get into something different, but you got to make sure to
bring it all back.
If you don't, I think that's where you let your audience down.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what we're doing, you know, coming up with ideas, what we're focused on, especially with now the new website, which we haven't talked about, thewalkandtalk.com.
Yeah. It's a refresh. We refreshed it.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, not because I'm on it. It's just because I'm talking about the other peeps.
Somebody's got a blog.
I will be having a blog, so we'll talk about
different things. You got one silly little article. What the hell is this? You should. I was thinking, but, you know, John's like, "Hey, man, we're up and running." I'm like, "Oh, sweet." I go and look. This is like one article. What is this?
I got more coming.
God.
You know what? I go to sit down and I get writer's block. I'm not kidding you. I'm like, "I got to do this. I'm just open up the computer, turn." Damn it. The refrigerator's calling me.
Hey, well, I can appreciate that. That calls me always. It's always calling me. I hear it when I'm.
Well, not on Thursdays.
No, not Thursdays. My wife asked her, she goes, "Are you eating dinner here tomorrow?" I'm like,
"Dude, probably not."
I said, "It's Thursday." No. I mean, I have a sickness. Maybe I am. I don't know. But no, probably not.
Yeah, when I get out of the car, I told you. When I got out of the car, it was, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm kind of famished.
I can see that.
You know why?
I haven't eaten.
I stopped eating.
At 7 o'clock on Wednesday.
I'm trying to save some room, you know? And yeah. And I fill it up quick. It's a quick fill. But no, you did a great job. I'm only kidding about the articles. I know that you're working on some stuff now, but it's exciting, you know. Obviously, thewalkintalk.com. Manny, when you hear walk and talk, do you immediately go walk in cooler? Everything happens in the walk in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Industry people get it. Non-industry people are like, walk and talk? Is this like a gangster movie? Like, "Hey, we're going to go do a walk." No, it's not that. It's you know, this is like
the walk. I tried to explain to my family when I was leaving this morning, like, what I was going to do, and they still didn't comprehend. Like, walking? What?
What are you going to do? Like, you're going to walk around the block and talk into microphones? Yeah. No, that's not what this is.
And one of them was like, "You mean walk? Like,
walk. Oh, my God. I never even heard of that one. That's another one. Walk and talk. That would be a whole nother, that's somebody else's segment.
Yeah, we'll have to get some P.F. Chang's people on so they can do that.
All right, stop. But that can get way out of hand so fast. Stop it. But the walk-in cooler, in my estimation, in my opinion, is the heartbeat of the eatery, right? And in that heart, you have everything happening. The reprimanding that goes on when there's a wayward employee staff member that they get dragged into the cooler and, you know, they get reprimanded. It's like, it's basically a quiet place.
Sometimes
it's insulated.
No, not some of them aren't. I know from personal experience, I was yelling at a cook and I got out and the whole restaurant was like, I was like, "Ooh, I was a little loud."
They're usually insulated.
Yeah. I was pissed.
There was wow, was really pissed.
Someone dropped the ball there.
Oh,
big but time. You know, good things happen in there too. Promotions, like you know, you share stories. Like, that's a place where you either go yell, cry, you
whippets,
whippets, yeah, you get away.
Dude, I'm trying to bring this to like the.
Listen,
what is nasty what's our shit tagline? Goes on in the walk in too. Right. We're not going there. This is a wholesome show.
No, this is also talking about the
PG-17.
But we're also talking about the stuff that happens in the restaurant industry. You're looking at the mayhem. That's part of the mayhem.
It is, but it's rare. It's a rare thing. We don't talk about Bruno over here. Okay.
Jeez.
My gosh, we elevate. The food and the industry.
See, you here. Should have said Devo instead of Bruno. Whip it good.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, your little triple entendre going on.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice. See, mom spaghetti.
I love stories it. Of walk-in, you know.
That's exactly.
Yeah. There's so many stories and so many, like you said, so many good things have happened, bad things have happened, been on the giving end, receiving end. It's...
Normally for me, it was where I can cool off from the shift.
And you cool off, yeah.
That was the biggest thing for me.
I mean, listen.
Just to get away,
sometimes
get
off the line. Just to go hide for a minute.
Yeah.
Before the advent of like these Under Armour shorts, you know, like the...
Cornstarch.
There was always a box of cornstarch.
It was always that was always cornstarch everywhere. But you would go in that cooler to like just like get some air. Like it was
swamp butt was a real thing. It still is a real thing. But my God, back then.
Yeah, no, it's like it's still a physiological thing that happens, right? I mean, it's part of your. But now you have clothing you can put on. You don't even notice that anymore. You don't have to worry about the cornstarch.
120 degrees on a pavement. Yeah, you know that.
No, it's a funny correlation. My brother-in-law, he played football at UM back in the early 90s, mid-90s. He was an offensive lineman. And somehow or another, cornstarch came up in conversation at the house. And my mother-in-law, she's, you know, Cuban, speaks good enough English, but she's like, I used to give my Carlos, I used to give him cornstarch because he was, you know, from when he was playing football. We do it in Cuba all the time. I was like, no kidding. Did you know that, like, that's a restaurant thing? Like, I've been using cornstarch for, you know, a million years. She's like, no. She didn't believe me. She thought I was kidding. I was like, no.
There's the code on the line. It's like slurry up. That was the code.
Slurry up.
Yeah.
Dude, just the thought of it, though. It's like, no, come on.
You just see that one guy walking. You're like, dude, slurry up now.
Hey, listen, most of my tenure was front of the house. And I was, what, 100? Back then, I was maybe 160, 170 pounds. And I would chafe like unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It was terrible.
Oh yeah.
And somebody introduced that one of the line guys, one of the cooks. He's like, "What's your problem? Why are you walking like that?" Because I was unhappy. Like it was bad. And I was just like, "Well, this is what's going on." He goes, "Man, you should have told me this sooner." I'm like, "Dude, what am I going to tell anybody this at all? This is private. It sucks. This is terrible. What are you talking about?"
Not in
the
kitchen.
Not in the kitchen.
He hands me this box of the thing, and I'm like, "What do you want me to do with this?"
And it was marked. Kitchen only.
He hands me the box. He says, "I said, what do you want me to do with this?" He says, "Go to a bathroom,
powder up, baby,
powder up." I'm like, "What do you mean? Like with my hand? Like to?" Just,
yep.
He goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "Am I allowed to do that?" I'm like, "Wash your effing hands, you dummy!" Like I was a kid. You know what do I know? I didn't know.
Right.
But yeah, man, that was a lifesaver.
Yeah, I mean, there's the little hacks that we do in the kitchen that people don't realize. I mean, look, we are truly MacGyvers.
You have to be.
I mean, you think about what we did and what we went through in Detroit. That was nuts. Absolutely nuts. Like, the kitchen wasn't ready. We had to feed by Friday. We had no kitchen.
Mm.
None. So we had to go out and just do what we needed to do and get things done. I mean, we were 5 o'clock in the afternoon going to Michigan State. Was the Wolverines? Where would we go up there?
Oh, Ann Arbor. That was far. Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor. That
was a drive.
Well, an hour after we served, did everything we needed to do, we had to go still buy more. We spent like $1,000 in Costco.
That's nothing.
Yeah. Oh,
no. I spent $1,000 in Costco.
Dude, for 2 days.
It was...
That's a lot.
We filled up... We could have filled up to two flatbeds. Literally two flatbeds we could have filled up. It was that bad of food.
Interesting.
Yeah. There were some shorts from the purveyor that we had to recover on our own. And then there was some last minute added...
Charcuterie
and
cheese. Or charcuterie,
yeah, stuff like that.
So that really added up. We remember we went to that one hoity-toity spot that
that was really cool, but not for what we needed.
$20-something a pound for cheese.
Oh, and we needed spent like $5,000 there.
Yeah, we had 100 people to feed cheese for $20 a pound.
Okay.
Not happening.
Okay. Okay.
So we had to shift gears. It's all about, you know, how, what you can do. You know, most people don't realize the kitchen doesn't, the kitchen dictates the menu. Menu doesn't dictate the kitchen. So that's the biggest thing.
I agree. I concur. I think we all concur. So, Chef Manny.
Yes, sir.
Are you in or what?
Always.
All right. So we're going to we're going to have to go over some, like, some baseline here. Right.
Where are you going to go next?
Yeah, where are you going?
What's the next race?
Laguna Seca, Monterey, California.
Not too far from your house.
That sounds so pretty.
About an hour and a half.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
So I'm doing a real regional, local menu for that race.
How are you with taking pictures and stuff?
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, enough.
Says phones. Who said that? So, all right. So what I'm thinking is this.
Phones nowadays.
They're pretty good. Who needs photography, right, buddy John? I'm only kidding.
No, the stuff he...
Did you see the stuff that he's doing? Oh, my gosh,
dude. Amazing. The
attention to detail is ridiculous. No,
for me, just the toys that he has set up, like all the plates and silverware. That's where I'm like, it's just like three Metro shelves full of different plates, silverware.
Doubles. Each plate, there's a double.
Cups, you know, little cups with red juice in them.
Ramekins.
All sorts of stuff. That was cool for me.
Different forks from different areas.
In this case, it would be Ramekai.
Ramekai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of Ramekai.
But he just, we walk in there, you just don't even realize it. And then on top of that, his intention to detail.
Yeah.
It's a little much. I always tell him, like, dude, like, come on. What are you doing?
Dude.
We've been shooting since, 10 o'clock?
A lot of work goes into this. You see, like,
thank God.
So I asked Jeff, I said, so when's Manny come? What time?
I said, like, noon.
Noon?
Because why so early?
What? The poor guy's going to be sitting here. What are you doing? You know, anyhow, you got to kind of see what goes on behind the scenes here.
In the green room.
In the green room. Green area, the whole area. The idea is, though, that, and I'm kind of glad you did, because if we do something now, you kind of see what we're all about. Mm-hmm. And the average person probably wouldn't think that, you know, we started at 9:30 this morning.
And he's still shooting it.
He probably ate my freaking sandwich. But he probably just finished up about within the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's a long day of shooting.
And he still has some post-production to do, too.
He has to go. Yeah, no. Yeah. So we don't do much in the way of post-production on the podcast, but in how we are set up. Because, you know, I wouldn't do this. If I had to do post-production, forget it. No way. It's impossible.
No, it's too much.
It's too much. So what I'm going to do with you, Manny, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about equipment. We're going to talk about... because if you're going to be traveling, think of the cool photography that we can get, imagery, I should say, we can get that will correspond with whatever it is that you are going to come up with. See, the idea with this is to give a creative outlet to people who are creatives, right? Mm-hmm. So you're a chef, you're creative to begin with. And now you'll have an outlet to talk about, a platform to talk about what you're doing, what you're seeing, why you're doing some of the things you're doing, you know? And I think I think the audience would appreciate it. Cause that's like some, you know, food groupie sort of, insight that they would be getting from you.
Yeah, I'm down. I think it sounds amazing.
And I think for the average listener too, it's not just about country clubs. It's not just about hotels, and it's not just about restaurants. It's about guys like Manny who are working for a racing team. People like Chef Ryan Manning, who just got hired as the Tampa Bay chef for the Buccaneers.
For the Bucs, man.
So congratulations to Ryan.
Yeah, that's so cool. We got to have him on.
Yeah, and then Jackie Pessinger, who works for the ACF, just got invited to go to the Beard Camp, James Beard Camp. So there's a lot going on. People don't even realize.
The James Beard Camp. That's a big deal.
Yeah, huge. Ryan had already gone to it, and now Jackie has been invited. So it's just
we got to get them on.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd love to. Yeah, and we got to get with the foundation to begin with. We got to get with these guys.
I think I know somebody.
Yeah. We got to, like, you know, I've been breaking your chops now for a little bit.
Yeah. She was on vacation.
I know. Okay. Listen, everybody needs some time off.
Yeah.
Okay. But now we're back. Let's get back to business. Let's get focused.
Yeah. I'll talk to her.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's that time.
What's your social handle? How do people follow you?
Instagram, chef.manny.
Okay. Excellent.
There's no missing him because that's a picture of him right there. So
okay.
If you want to see what he looks like, Chef Manny.
Chef.manny.
Chef.manny. Okay. We're going to do it. The walkintalk.com. Check out the new site. It's pretty cool. We have our culinary partner chefs with their content and all sorts of good stuff in there. The podcast, you can find it there.
Interviews.
All of our YouTube, our videos, everything. Check us out. Listen, people, we appreciate you a lot. And let's keep this party rolling. Stay tuned. You know, say something. You know, you see something, say something. Put a rating, whatever. Anyway, we are running on the clock here. Thank you kindly all. Thanks, Manny.
Thank you for having me. This was absolutely amazing.
Thanks for coming, bro.
Schlissel, we are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.